All right. Grandson.
Me. James.
How old are you?
James Steele. I'm 24 years old.
24 years old. Yeah, born and raised in Canada.
I was born in New Jersey, actually.
Born
I'm a dual citizen.
Okay.
Thankfully.
But so what brought you from New Jersey to Canada?
Well, it was like a family thing. I moved when I was a young kid. I grew up in, I was born in a small suburb in New Jersey, and Toronto had a lot to offer, still does. It's an incredible city. It's super diverse. There's a lot of cultures that all interact with one another, and I credit a lot of the genre bending that was always intuitive for me as an artist. I can trace all that back to my experiences in Toronto. So
okay, so at what age do you move from? At what age do you move to Canada?
I moved to Canada when I was 3 years old.
All right, 3 years old. So you spend most of your life in Canada.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, and how far away are you from the border?
Pretty close. Most of the large metropolitan cities in Canada are super close to the border with the U.S. So Vancouver, for instance, Toronto, Montreal, they're all pretty close by. So it was a hop, skip, and a jump.
So what would you say are the major differences when it comes to growing up in Canada? Even though you're so close to the border, do you see? I guess. Is it socially different? Is your experience different than when you cross the border and kind of spend over time in America?
It depends on, I think it depends on what part of America you're in, but I definitely think that there's a different relationship to kind of like social norms. The people in Canada are very, we have this reputation for being polite.
Yeah.
I think that politeness kind of stems from not wanting to intrude or overstep. So there's this large emphasis put on like respecting one another's space. I think that in some ways that also manifests in our relationship to nature and to the environment. Though I think that that's being compromised these days. I think it's being challenged by certain policies, but I definitely think that Canada's greatest treasure and its greatest exports are their natural resources. So I think that there's a huge emphasis on being outside in Canada, even though it gets freezing like eight months
right.
a year, which I don't think we would understand here in Orlando.
No.
If I took you to Toronto in the middle of February,
I hear it's beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous, but we can't be outside for very long.
So you spend lots of time. I mean, you spend most of your life in Canada. Us Americans were well known for being a lot, I guess, louder. We visit when we as tourists, we visit other countries, and lots of people from other countries go, oh, they're really loud, and that's just how we are. But you yourself are becoming louder. You're becoming verbose.
Yeah.
So how do you start? When do you decide? You know what? I kind of want to start speaking for my generation and other generations.
You know what? I one of the key distinctions is rather than speaking for my generation, I wanted to speak with my generation. I felt that these discussions were ongoing. They just existed in small pockets. They were in small sub-community sub-genres of I think that activism had begun to fall out of rock and roll and taken more of a space in hip-hop, for instance, with artists like Kendrick Lamar. But I had been trying to be a musician as long as I can remember. I couldn't keep a job for more than 2 weeks' time as far as I go. If I wasn't a musician, I would be trying to be a musician. There was no plan B for what I was going
to
do with my life.
And that's a really hard road to take.
Yeah.
Because like 0.1% of people actually get to where you're at right now.
And I would not have gotten here without the help of so many incredible people around me. So I'm super grateful, and it really does take a village. But one of the big things that was always a wall for me was I couldn't understand my why. And I think that it doesn't matter what you do, if you're listening to this, whatever you do, you should be able to ask yourself why you do it and come up with an answer that satisfies you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's one of the big ways to find purpose in your life. And for me, when I was just writing songs about girls, as much as there's room for that, as a kid in his 20s trying to figure life out, when it was just about that, it felt kind of hollow, and I couldn't really figure out, well, there's a million people doing this thing. A lot of them are better singers than I am or better guitar players or whatever. So how am I going to, cut through that? Or even better, like, what if I don't? How would I find peace within that? So Grandson became the first thing I was willing to fail at. And so it was like, if I'm going to just try and be a musician and live in my mom's basement for the rest of my life, I want to do it on my terms. And my terms became, well, I want to talk about these sorts of issues. I want to raise these sorts of discussions. And the most important thing for me was I want to create a space to get mad. to get angry and to flip a table or start a mosh pit, but in doing so in a way that's inclusive, doing so in a way that's respectful, and really challenge a society that strips us of our power and disenfranchises us, but also provides us with no outlet for any of that frustration that comes from that. So that was sort of the origins of Grandson. It was never like, oh, well, I want to be this, the voice of this or that. It was really just, this is what I'm looking for and I can't find it anywhere. And instead of looking around for waiting for someone else to make this space for me, I'm just going to make it.
So how soon after making that decision, which is a, you know, that takes a lot of, for lack of a better term, balls to actually say, I'm going to do this. And you know what? F it. You know, this is how it's going to be. This is me. And how soon after making that decision do you get a knock on your door from a record label?
Wow. Well, the context, I had actually, I was in college.
How was that going?
To be a teacher. It was okay. You know? Not so, if it was much better, I'd probably be there and not here. But I ended up moving to Los Angeles because I wanted to be a songwriter at first. Yeah. And so I was taking gigs. I was ghostwriting for rappers, you know, signing NDAs and doing that. I was doing pop writing, folk writing, anything I could get my hands on. I just wanted to be around creative people. I wanted to be around communities of artists that would inspire me. And I went through the ringer. I was signed and then dropped from a label. I worked on a million different iterations of trying to be an artist and met so many different iterations of failure along that way, whether it was we had a song and we couldn't get the legal side of things worked out, or so many different manifestations that, you know, that artists will encounter along the way. And I think it was through those conditions where I just kept beating my head against the wall going, what am I doing wrong, that my irreverence started shining, where it was like, you know what, F it. Like, this is the first time in my life I've been saying I don't care for the last 5 years. Now I really don't care. Let's see what happens. Yeah. And there was a real interesting irony. When you let go of those expectations, that was when finally people started paying attention. And it was like, oh, well, let's see what happens if I care even less, you know? And then I started really speaking my mind. I started really like talking that. And the more that I did that, the more people gravitated to it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden people started knocking on my door, and, you know, it was like, well, if I'm going to do this thing, which is begin to grow this with the help of a team, like, I want that team to have the same vision as me and not have them not be interested in compromising my message whatsoever. And I've been really lucky to find that.
Yeah, you're in really good hands. Yeah, just so you know.
So
you're
far, so
in,
good.
You're in really, really good hands.
I mean, he's
hands.
In the room, so you can blink Morse code at me if I'm
no,
in trouble.
No, no. You're in really good hands, seriously. I've met so many people in this industry. I know you have too, you know. I mean, hell, you moved to California. You were completely around it at all times.
Yeah.
But you're in really good hands, so you should you know, just know that.
Yeah.
And so just complete, just don't care.
What's that?
Whatever you do.
No, I know.
Care less.
You know, and here I am, you know, it's like, and it's bigger than just a label taking a chance. It's Orlando's new alternative taking a chance. It's a venue taking a chance. Promoters, you know, there are so many people involved in disseminating a message, you know, and I think that I never had that appreciation when I was just trying to, you know, make a song about a girl and who knows, you know, but the getting from A to C, that middle step is so important, and that's why I have so much appreciation and respect for a station like 101.9 that's gonna like take a chance and like, you know, really help an artist talk about some real stuff. And if there's a person listening here that feels disenfranchised and is, you know, commuting to work in that job that they hate or whatever it is, you know, put my music on and play it loud, and if you feel at home in what and in that energy, then come to a show, participate in this movement, because it is only as strong as the grandkids around me.
So in 5 years, I'd say in 10 years actually, I want to be 'cause I'm getting old, man. Everything's starting to ache. It's terrible.
Uh-oh.
See the gray hair. In 10 years, I want to be working from a studio in my house, you know, doing voice work and stuff like that. Where do you want to be in 10 years? I know that's such a, but I mean, just
You know,
think about it, even if it's just personally.
I want to be finding new ways to facilitate this community becoming self-sustaining. I want to be galvanizing young people on a grand scale, and I want to take this off of your, you know, car speakers, off of the stage and into the streets. And there's going to be a lot of different ways we do that. One of the big things that I'm most passionate about is youth empowerment. So voter registration is very important to me. Talking about things like climate change is important to me. So there's a lot of different issues and causes that I want to make more accessible for young people. Yeah. I go around the country, I'm talking to kids. They care. They just don't know how to take that $25 or take their, you know, free time on the weekend, and they want to feel like they're a part of the revolution, but the revolution is, you know, it is so inaccessible right now because it's so dry. And part of that is giving it a badass guitar riff, part of it is, you know, rocking out, but in 10 years it's going to be bigger than that, and there's going to be a young wave of artists that are going to be inspired by this new revolution, by artists like myself and the Fever 333, and there are other really cool artists that are, you know, fusing music and activism and trying to address the problems of today. And there are going to be kids that are born from that, and I want to help give them a platform, and the grandkids are going to be unstoppable. We already are, and it's just about enabling them to take control and have difficult discussions with their parents, their pastor, their teacher, their boss, whoever it is. I think that that's the case, and I think that a lot more people than the generation older than me really recognize. A lot more people in this country are interested in that change, and I think that we just need to empower them. We need to enable them to get to the polls. We need to enable them to use their consumer power, use their voting power to take back this country. That's what I believe in.
Are you an American citizen now?
I am. I'm a dual citizen.
Oh, yeah, you're a dual citizen, so you can vote.
Yeah, damn right I can.
All right.
I sure can, man. And
just want to make sure that you're voting, because you're telling everybody. Yeah, so I want to make sure that you're doing it.
Absolutely, yeah. Man. And it's cool to do it if you're listening. It's cool to do it. I swear I will think a lot more of you if you can do it.
Well, I'm really interested to see your story continue to grow, man. Your passion, you can feel it from across the table and from across the speaker. So So thank you very much.
Hey, man, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate being here at Orlando's New Alternative, and it's just the beginning.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Let's get it.